Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
9th of July, 2018. This is The Real KNC. Ken Laird.
Chris Curtis.
Bookends Monday and Friday, like always.
Podcast today after the show. I'm looking forward to that. Monday and Friday this week, correct?
All right.
It's only like 3 weeks.
We're due, that's for sure.
Yeah, today, right?
Bingo.
You and I are very eager to do this one today.
Loving it.
Today, yes.
Today and Friday, correct?
Today and Friday, yes.
Thank you, yes.
No strong arming needed?
None whatsoever.
Commute home is better. It's for me. Those are for me. My runs. Done.
Guess we should start with one of our own. There are a lot of big things involved with the show. This is, after all, The Real KNC. But. Paul Chartier, former member of the KNC family.
Who cares about Paul Chartier?
In fact, was there, I think, for the initiation. When did you come in? I always forget your start date.
I joined up August 23rd or so.
Lead producer at that time.
Lead producer of the Dennis O'Callaghan show. Forever cemented my legacy with a couple of the dumbest lines I've ever said with Kirk Minahan on the podcast. Ken had a great line. He's like, well, okay, you know, we've told them that.
Paul loves that one. That's his favorite.
Listeners, this was your fault.
Paul loves shitty Curtis.
I was watching Curtis press the buttons. It was like a little kid looking at a piano for the first time playing chopsticks.
He's a good guy. Actually, he's an all right guy. Good producer.
Okay guy.
He's kind of weird.
He's kind of a dick, but we like him.
Paul, yeah. I've got your back on this one, buddy.
You just had this thing in there where I'm not going to get into the actual content of what we were discussing, but he knew something, we knew something, and he was still trying to dodge the whole situation.
Totally.
Paul, you're a dope.
But anyway, good luck to Paul. You know, I'm sure you and Sausage will have a great lunch break.
Sausage, you friggin' idiot!
Enjoy.
I think he'll be back. In the interim, we'll have some of the part-timers vying for the new full-time spot for OMS. We'll see how that goes.
Correct.
Nobody promising, but...
fine.
Yeah, they're all fine.
He's a fine host.
I'm getting a call here from Minahan. Hey, Kirk.
Chris, what's going on?
Not too much.
Jerry thinks he might come in tomorrow now.
Okay. So should I tell Drellick... Okay, yeah, that works for me. I'll reach out to them. We're just recording the podcast here, but I'll call them after. No problem.
So there you go. Breaking news on the podcast. Jerry Callahan back Tuesday. He's been off for a week and a day, about as much as he could take.
You're taking your vacation. That's not me.
Damn right I am.
Heard trivia, and he was so pissed. He has to come in tomorrow.
Scott, go ahead. I'm sorry.
My question for you is, who is the tallest catcher in baseball history?
Ooh, is it still Larry McLean or no?
Well, yeah. I mean, of course it is.
Yes, thank you very much.
Pitching the tent in Maine. There
six to midnight.
Here comes the chair.
Look out, Biddeford.
Give me five.
So Jerry was unhappy with the shows last week, as Kirk laid out.
After last week's capital debacle, which Jerry Callahan was sending me texts left and right. Nah, the worst show ever.
But he's down on Mutt primarily.
They all want the shows to suck. This is going to be... Go ahead, go. I'll let you get it, though. I'll explain it.
What are you talking about?
People want the show to suck when you're not here.
Well, they got what they wanted last week.
Where will his anger be most directed?
I'm going to get some of this because he told me I was wrong to just have Mutt and Drellick.
Hey, we want three. I want three.
So he'll have a little bit of a party.
What we got, Chris?
We have someone. It'll be a surprise again.
But so, you were out the first 2 days.
I was out, but I was, you know, it's sort of an industry, cottage industry on the show to rip the fill-ins, and that's my job.
I got to say, it's a real blast working on this radio show.
Chris, get past that. We all understand. Nobody wants
to get past that.
You know, so I'm sure that'll come up. But Mutt is going to get it from Jerry.
Whatever, Mutt.
And then it's going to go right to you because he loves pointing at the sock puppet.
Sorry ass sock puppet.
But now Bradford's going to be in to start the show tomorrow.
Bradfo show.
He should almost have the first segment to himself. Like, there's enough Kirk and Jerry. They almost don't need Bradford there for the first segment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. King just said 6 to 8, 8 to 10. But that's not a bad point about the opening segment. But I think Bradford, he won't dominate, you know. If Jerry's in there and he has things to say, I don't think Rob's going to jump in and, you know, Google it.
It's worth a Google. Can we Google it?
Well, let's go to the Bradford drama.
No, I know what is, and it sure is good enough.
It's going to set up for a good show tomorrow.
Yes.
So what you're saying is Rob wants to do this, not the full Mutt at Night. He wants to do the lead into the Red Sox game.
Yes, he wants to host that show.
Oh, let him do that. Who cares?
It's my show. No. I'm hosting.
That's like a 20-minute show you do?
Yes, my show.
Oh, my God. That'd be a gift.
Nope. I like hosting that show.
maybe that's the less interesting part than the Tomasi angle.
Right. I think the Tomasi, the Bradford Mutt 6 o'clock thing, there is so much therapy required between Mutt and Bradford that those two just need to hash out.
Mutt is like the biggest snake on the station. Subtle snake.
We kind of did on the podcast. Remember, Kirk did one for an hour and it was almost nothing was solved.
Nothing solved.
Every single thing, you're thinking about how will Kirk react to this. Again, it didn't really...
How fucking sensitive are you?
Easy.
It's just a rivalry between those two. It's an odd dynamic. They're both on their own, very nice and very odd people.
And I get it. I'm a degenerate gambler.
Rhododendron Bush, and it's
rhododendron.
What the central figure in this, in the whole deal, is Minahan.
It's way more of a me issue than anybody else.
Kirk and Rob were long-term friends.
And Rob Bradford died this afternoon at the age of 45.
Well before Mutt arrived.
Bradford is responsible for Kirk.
As Kirk knows, I hang around bookstores.
Brought him to the website, not in the air, and obviously we know the biggest star in town. And then there's the Mutt dynamic, which is that Kirk likes doing radio with Mutt better than with Bradford.
We like him. We like having Mutt around.
That so friendship has jealousy. Blossomed. Yeah, I think there's a weird thing between both parties.
But the relationship between the on-air product and the WEI.com website...
Rob Bradford, WEI.com.
Sorry, Rob.
...also has some interesting background.
My bigger issue is with management here and Rob Bradford, who I know when I was working for the website, writing for the website, first of all, I worked a hell of a lot harder than Tomasi, worked more hours, did more work, good for him. And the deal was, if you got called in to do a show, and I did a lot of fill-in work for two or three years, but the deal with Rob was, if you get a call from the station, you go, you do it, no matter what. I don't care what you're writing today, put it aside, do it tomorrow, do whatever. The most important
thing... So the column for the day gets 86th if you go to radio.
Gets shelved, gotcha. Yeah. It's the most important thing is the radio station, which of course it is. I mean, we know the website doesn't make any money. The radio station does. So I don't know what has changed where when John Tomasi now has the ability to just tell the morning show, the most important show in the cluster, I just don't feel like it. And Rob has his back.
I don't know if I have the stomach for this show.
I just don't understand why it's so difficult for me as the producer of the Kirk and Callahan show at times to get people who are employed either part-time or full-time at the station in to do it.
Why would I go on Kirk and Callahan?
If I had power, which people think I do, I don't.
Where's the power?
I would definitely get people in here.
With you.
We should financially make it worth their while. It's the number one show. It's the highest rated show. It should be paid accordingly to the people that are a part of it. All of that. I'm fine with that. But
which goes back to last week and why Jerry was upset. It's not easy to get a third person. It's not often approved.
Right.
In fact, we pitched the idea of Meter.
Go to the phone lines and join good friend Wes Durham, voice of the Atlanta Falcons. Wes, how are you?
Last Monday, as a third guy for the Tuesday show, and that was summarily dismissed.
Nope.
I wish Tomasi wouldn't say is the sleep thing. I mean...
Although Kirk's right, he is lazy.
I think his biggest issue is he doesn't want to get his fat ass out of bed at 5 in the morning. That's all. He's a fat, lazy vomit.
If not pushed, I guess he could just default to, why do I have to?
Well, wait a minute. Do I get a say in this?
I don't want to get up. I'll do the other shows that are from 10 to 6.
It's odd because he said to you at the Cask and Flagon.
He told Mutt.
Or told Mutt at the Cask and Flagon that he missed the juice. Talked about it on the air with Mutt, being out at the Prius at the Toyota dealership, and the guy knew him from the show, and how cool that was to be sort of have the juice of it.
All I know is I've been rat-faced Tomasi and whatever else for like 3 months on the air.
I don't know. It's just weird. One day there'll be an oral history on the show, and the Tomasi angle will be very interesting, but for right now it looks like he's not a part of it, and we'll just move on.
Just moved on.
If you worked it every day, I think you see it's got a physical effect on your lifestyle.
Oh, I mean, I'm living proof of that in the past, but
I'm an alcoholic.
Friday, I was so pissed. I was so pissed at Jerry and Kirk after the show. They're just texting left and right. It was all shit. The whole show sucked. Jerry's saying everything's the worst radio show in the history of all time.
Oh, suck it up.
It's 10:15 on Friday. It's like, okay, let's hop in a time machine and restart the day or restart the week. We can't do it. It's over. And it's like, what makes the show great, which is their attention to detail, with their passion, their love of the show, their insane paranoia about all things Kirk and Callahan, are also things that are just... irritate the crap out of you at times.
Is it a cheat day?
There's no rationalization, Jerry.
Is that what it is?
So, but the Friday part of it, you wanted them to weigh in earlier in the week if they had a problem with it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the options are not great. They really aren't. And I know Jerry loves Blind Mike, and I know he thinks Greg Dickerson's got this massive edge to him.
I want Dickerson.
Okay.
Andy Hart and Greg Dickerson's not the road to victory.
No, but,
I mean, they both stink. I'm just being honest. They both stink.
Well, Jerry's point, I guess, would have been anybody. Any third voice would have been better.
Right.
Okay, well, you said you floated the idea of a third person earlier in the week, and it was shot down.
It was our last segment Monday. You could feel it. I think Mutt and I both felt it. We did a segment on it. Here are our options.
We're already writing off the rest of the week.
A good 3 hours and 20
minutes. All right,
so
who's in tomorrow? Do we have somebody else coming in?
No. We've been going around and around in circles with this, it feels like, for months with Tomasi, with up with Trenny. It's just...
Yeah, Trenny's not a full-time EEI person, so,
right.
I mean, that's her
but
choice.
But she's paid well to host a weekend show, you know, every week. She's
right,
got,
she gets the weekend show, yeah.
And 140,
that was like me in fifth grade.
And 143 like, line, became his sort of, like, signature.
By the way, hold on. That's like, a funny line by Tomasi that Trenny just... rules like is he could say anything right there. He could literally say he could have said Mr. Rogers molested me when I was 9 years old. Trenny was going to roll over that to get to her incredibly self-involved and I guarantee you stupid story. Let's hear it.
Signature number, like to him, it embodied everything he stood for because 143 is the numerical version of I love you because I is one word, four is love is four letters. And U is three letters. So today I pulled in to meet my friend to park and I parked in spot 143, not even knowing it. And I was like, oh my God, it's synergy.
I love Fred Rogers.
I love Fred Rogers.
And I think the people here in powerful positions have always been assuming that eventually she would return. And I just don't see that happening.
Who's that more due to, me or Jerry?
Oh, definitely you.
No.
So I would say this fall, it was interesting to hear Kirk say Tangway.
No comment.
Over Tomasi, that he could see Tangway back in the fall. That would be great. I don't see Tomasi working out in this sort of dynamic where he's pushed back, doesn't really want to be there, isn't fully invested, but just shows up because he has to.
Come on, you can't just spring this on me.
Now, we had two big announcements today. One that was kind of a blockbuster, but became just sort of a matter of fact. Tom Brady's coming back on August 13th. That'll be his return.
I think Kirk's done a great job.
That's huge news for us.
Massive.
That'll be the first Patriots Monday. And tying in with that, of course, is that Alex Reamer will make his return with KNC Wednesday. He's been back on the station aplenty in the last few weeks.
Go, Trump, go!
Back out of the bathhouses, back onto KNC in the morning. So that is a significant return.
So I spoke with, actually it was Friday. Kirk said, Reamer Wednesday, book it.
Write it down in the book.
Okay.
All right. So I got the text, called Alex. I had something else to go over with him, so I mentioned that first, and then I said, all right, and you're in Wednesday, Friday next week with Kirk and Callahan. And he shrieked. I have never wanted a recording device on my cell phone more than I did at that exact moment.
Like it a Trenny been, shriek or like a...
It was like,
oh my God!
Bigly shriek from the Ream Dog, and he is ready to go.
I'm hungry.
And he'll be in Wednesday with Jerry and Kirk.
And then Kirk and Jerry have the show Thursday, and we'll see about Friday with Reamer and Kirk. Other big news, Monday, Mutt called for this. He demanded it, a rematch of Battle of the Brainless, I think, two.
I would like to request a rematch in a Battle of the Brainless music edition against one Chris Curtis.
Oh.
I know we've
twist
done,
my arm.
Battle of the Brainless 2 music edition.
His lone blemish.
Yes!
Oh, gotta be yes!
To Chris Curtis, which is obviously still gnawing at him, and it should.
Last week, I felt... Curtis is... He has this feeling around me now where he feels like he's better than
me. There's no... I just mentioned that last segment.
And I don't know where it came from. But I do think that right there is at the core.
Oh, you think that was a pivotal moment?
I think he thinks because he beat me in this dumb, on a technicality, by the way, in this dumb Battle of the Brainless, that he's not a complete moron and somehow he's smarter than me or an equal to.
Well, he did think Moving Out was by the Beatles, but that's okay. So he thought Meatloaf was Rod Stewart.
That's okay. Well, I'm not great with music. I'm better than Curtis. That I know.
Well, you lost, though.
But that on a technicality.
Well, he lost the bracket of the Brainless to me as
that's
well.
That's true. Kirk dismisses that as ever happening, I
right,
think.
That's true. But yes, so the Mutt Man had a big tease after headlines today, and he said he wanted to come at me hard. And
yeah, truly, I had no idea what was going on.
People in the building were running around.
They were a little nervous about what was coming there.
So I decided after this to throw up a poll question. Who is more important to WEEI, myself or Mike?
Yeah, how about
Bonansky?
That? I mean, he really came dismissing the notion that that was even a conversation, that you were as important as he was here at WEEI.
1,500 votes in at the time, right before we started taping this. 65-35, yours truly, over Mutt.
Chris Curtis, notorious fart smeller.
I would have voted you. Clearly, you're the five-day-a-week member of the most important show at the station.
Correct.
Mutt's here once, pretty much once, by now management
edict. Some days he's here, but is he really here? I mean, the Cullen Show.
Right.
Well, Mutt was sort of there. But
I mean, scoreboard updates are great, don't get me wrong. But
we love the top of the first.
Bottom one, no score, Reds and Dodgers. Same situation in San Diego, top one, no score, Padres and Cardinals.
You're more important. Now, I didn't expect the poll results to go this way. So this is almost like losing Battle of the Brainless, too. This hurts, Mutt.
Damn it!
This is a great tweet to have, no matter what, because at some point in the month, a week, a day, a year, he's going to say something ripping my relevance at the station.
Not a complete moron, and somehow he's smarter than me or an equal to.
And I'll just have this screenshot to just throw in his face, so take that.
Hey,
that?
Yeah, take that. I mean, it was a week last week where the listeners had to suffer at the hands of Mudd for 4 out of the 5
That's
days.
That's true. The timing is very helpful for me.
Yeah, I mean, Steve in Providence kind of summed it up for everybody, I think, with that call on Thursday.
Steve in Providence is joining us. Good morning, Steve.
I have tried listening for the last 2 days. I can't do it anymore.
Is there a chance he missed? Because we need Steve. Hopefully he's okay.
You know, today we got the recap of the weekend with Mudd at Suffolk Downs and basically what a good father he is, taking Carter and putting him on, what was he, put him on top of a spire at Suffolk Downs? Or what?
Carter goes and watches his degenerate, dumb dad gamble the whole time, and you try and rationalize
gambling
it by stuffing an iPad and the grilled cheese in his face. He's having a great time.
He watched the iPad for 2 minutes.
Mudd, you're going for you.
So if we're not there, there's probably a playground in Chelmsford.
Which he'd rather go
He's doing the exact same thing there. And I'm also...
Oh, yeah, they have a bunch of friends there?
Is it indoctrinating him? That's
yes,
not the word.
Yes, indoctrinating, yeah.
And what's the word?
He's sitting there getting him grilled cheeses. Mutt's running around, got the Kentucky mule, got the race form, screaming F-bombs at jockeys passing by.
Again, a caller nailed it succinctly. Start at the 7 o'clock hour. Kirk loved this question.
Let's go to Brett in Maine first. Brett, how are you?
Good, Mutt. How morning, Brett. Stupid are you?
That's a good morning.
That essentially, if you really listen to the show, I think you know by now how stupid
I am. That's been the question of the show. Really, I've been chasing for the last year and a half to get an actual... I like to bring a scientist in and find out exactly how dumb you are.
Today's show, all around, was just a breath of fresh air.
Now, Drellick last week, I mean, who do you blame more, Drellick or Mutt, for the poor performances? If you really had to kind of nail down what was the problem, or do they just not have chemistry together? Can we never put Mutt and Drellick back in as a duo? I guess they actually had a better show Friday in the first half than Mutt and Curran did.
Yeah, I don't think it's... Last week, if you listen to any radio across the city, there wasn't a lot going on. The radio was not good. You listen to other fill-in shows, that's what they sound like.
There's Kawhi Leonard. Yeah.
I mean, I know people have a high bar, which is great, that they expect a lot from our show, and they should. The show wasn't great, but I didn't think it was any worse in general over the course of 4 shows than anything else you heard across the
Okay, well, that's a fair point. Put that aside, though. Who was better, Mutt or Drellick?
While I was participating in some anarchy, first spot we hit, it was a liquor store.
Mutt had a tougher job than Drellick last week. I think he was a little better. He had to, you know, Drellick was all over the place.
Especially
at times.
Thursday, your first day back. Drellick was all over the place.
Yeah, you lost my train of thought because it's after 9:30. I completely lost what I was going to say. What was I saying? I have no idea. I really don't.
And behind the scenes, I present him with a Patriots take about the dynasty.
Right.
Just to throw it out there take on the Thursday after the 4th of July about the tainted dynasty. He always hates Brady and Belichick. Figured it would be a good thing for him to go after the team.
Yeah.
Get some reaction. Mutt can play the honk that he loves to be. And we move on. And he just sort of like dipped his toe in the water, never really got into it.
Yeah, I'm not saying this, but...
That this is some sort of next step in the... What, tarnishing of the Patriots?
I'm not saying
because
that.
Of this.
People are saying.
I could see how people would. This is what you're going to get.
Well,
if
the whole
you're a
point
fan.
Is that you're the guy that's willing to say this stuff.
Right.
So that was odd. And then Friday, I mean, I don't blame. I mean, it was just awful all the way around. It was all across the board. It was a bad
I think
show.
Those two were a little rattled by Friday, if I could read that.
Right.
I mean,
why not say this sucks? Drellick, you are not bringing it today. Here's how you're failing.
Look, I think we talked about it on the air yesterday, Evan. You kept doing this thing where, I don't know if you're trying to be Rob yesterday or what, but you kept making these, while we're having a conversation, these weird U-turns where I couldn't respond to them at times. They were so nondescript.
You never said that on the air.
We said it on the air. We said you're losing it. That was early on the show.
In hindsight, Drellick was right. We should have had... Drellick and Carr in the final 2 hours.
Have all three of them be able to.
Have all three sort of be able to work it in. But as I've noted before, we can't change it. It's done. Thankfully, we've moved on.
And they tried politics on Tuesday. They tried a little Maxine Waters talk. Kirk said today, I mean, he would have just done that and done it, disregarded company edict. But they were clearly steered to get back within the lines after a couple segments of that.
I actually enjoyed that. I was listening to it in Montreal. I was walking around. The callers were crazy. Drellick was flying off the handle. You had Mutt being the Jerry Jr.
Again, you're making me sound like I'm defending Scott Pruitt.
You are.
I'm defending this
focusing...
act and the act of Maxine Waters and what she is projecting.
By condemning Maxine Waters over what Scott Pruitt has done, you are in effect doing that. You are saying that...
No, because Scott Pruitt is not the only one this has happened to.
It was. I liked it. I listened to that final... That was in the 7 o'clock hour, right?
Yeah. Basically, basically they were going to do, that was going to be their last segment on it anyway, but that was basically commanded, this is your last segment on this. I can understand from a management point of view, they don't sound comfortable doing it. Like, they're not Jerry and Kirk tackling that kind of subject. But my argument would be as to why to do that. That's the whole point. During a fill-in week, pushes the envelope for those guys. It widens them a little bit as characters. Drellick, just by his very nature, is a tough guy. He doesn't sound comfortable anyway, so you're not going to listen to him and feel comfortable. But he's kind of an oddball, and that plays within his neurotic self.
The reasons decency are gone are because of Donald Trump, Sarah Sanders, the messaging of that entire campaign.
I mean, you could feel it. Exponentially more passion and energy behind Maxine Waters talk than there was anything else.
And from a Drellick point on Maxine Waters to coming up next.
Mutt, it's hypocrisy, and you're drawing an arbitrary line in the sand.
We will continue talking to you guys until 10 at 617-779-7937. John Tomasi wrote about this today at WEEI.com. That is the other part of DeMarcus Cousins signing with the Golden State Warriors. That was who he was going to sign with. The Boston Celtics were on that list. That is next.
DeMarcus Cousins.
Brutal NBA offseason talk.
I think we got back into that. Yeah, there's still Kawhi Leonard in the news. So, as you say, nothing in the market right now is sizzling. There's not.
No, it's dead. The Red Sox are dead for our purposes. They're winning too much. There's not any real controversy. I thought Shaughnessy had a good column today. I don't know where else you go from it. I thought the trivia was great. I thought Kirk actually has a remarkable,
unbelievable trivia
library of knowledge in his brain.
Encyclopedia.
Travis in the Berkshires. Travis, what is your question for Kirk Minahan, baseball trivia expert?
Hey, man, who were the...
Barry Larkin, Larry Walker, Sammy Sosa, McGuire, and Bagwell.
He didn't get to. He didn't even get to say the question.
But I knew what I could feel what he was. That's how good I am. I could feel what he was going to ask.
He typed up the question, or Curtis typed the question up. You
he
looked
not,
it up.
Now you're lying. No.
Okay. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.
You too.
Enjoy the rest of your Monday.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out. Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.